Picture this. You're 45 miles from the field, your engine is running rough, not failed, not throwing metal, just rough in a way you have never quite heard before, and the oil pressure is sitting in the low green and it is moving slowly in the wrong direction. You have been watching it for 12 minutes, you reach for the radio, you key the mic, and then you stop. Because what exactly do you say? I am Pattern, and this is Traffic Pattern on Radio Hangar. That moment of hesitation is one I have seen more times than I would like. Pilots who know the system, who have read the aeronautical information manual, who aced the oral on emergency procedures, sitting silent at the radio because the gap between knowing the theory and making the actual transmission turned out to be wider than they expected. Today we are closing that gap. We are talking about Mayday and Pan Pan, what each one means, when to say which, the exact words in the right order. What happens on the other end of the radio when you key that mic, and why the instinct to stay quiet has contributed to accidents that did not need to happen. Before I get into it, shout out to our friends at aviationsoul.com. They make challenge coins for every step of the pilot journey. First solo, private certificate, instrument rating, commercial, they have got you covered. A great way to mark the milestones that matter to anyone who knows what it took to earn them. aviationsoul.com. Now, both of these words trace back to French, which tells you something about the early history of aviation radio. The word Mayday comes from the French phrase meaning help me. A radio officer named Frederick Stanley Mockford, working at Croydon Airport in England in 1923, is credited with proposing it as an international distress signal. His reasoning was practical. Most of the radio traffic at Croydon at the time moved between England and France. A word rooted in French that sounded like help me would be understood on both sides of the channel. The idea spread. By 1948, the International Telecommunication Union had codified Mayday as the global standard distress call, and it has held that role ever since. Pan Pan is also French. It comes from the word for breakdown or mechanical failure. You hear it in French phrases about engine failures and equipment failures. Pan Pan said three times signals urgency. A serious situation that needs attention and assistance, but one that has not yet crossed into the territory of immediate and imminent danger. That distinction is the core of everything we are going to talk about today. The Aeronautical Information Manual defines both plainly. Distress is a condition of being threatened by serious and imminent danger that requires immediate assistance. Urgency is a condition concerning the safety of an aircraft or other vehicle, or of some person on board or within sight, but which does not require immediate assistance. Read those carefully. Serious and imminent. Immediate assistance, that is Mayday, serious but not requiring immediate assistance. That is where Pan Pan lives. The line between them is where a lot of pilots get stuck. Mayday is for when the clock is running and you need resources moving right now. Pan Pan is for when you have a problem that exceeds normal handling. You want priority attention, but you still have options and time to work with. Let me give you some concrete scenarios because the definitions land better when you can see them applied. Your engine quits. Total power loss. You're picking a field. You need vectors to the nearest airport right now, and you need emergency services ready on the ground when you get there. That is a Mayday. Your engine is running rough and the oil pressure is dropping. You do not know if it will hold together for 5 more minutes or an hour. You want priority routing to the nearest airport and you want air traffic control working the problem with you. That is a Pan Pan. And that Pan Pan may very well become a Mayday before you land. But you start the call where you are. You're lost. Your GPS quit. Your dead reckoning got away from you. Your fuel situation is fine. You have time to sort this out. You want radar vectors back to a known fix, Pan Pan. You are lost, and your fuel gauge is in the red, and you cannot be sure you will reach an airport before the engine quits. That has crossed into Mayday. A passenger on board has a serious medical emergency. They are unconscious. You need to land immediately, and there needs to be an ambulance at the ramp. Mayday. Because the threat to life is happening in the cabin right now and the clock on that person is running. You have a door that will not latch and you want to return to the airport. That might not even rise to Pan Pan depending on the situation, but if the door is partially open and you are concerned about structural integrity, Pan Pan is not an overreach. The point is that Mayday and Pan Pan exist on a spectrum and you get to decide where you are on that spectrum. And the phrase I want you to hold on to from this segment is, declare early, downgrade later. If you're not sure whether it is a Pan Pan, make the call. If the situation resolves and you do not need the priority handling, you can tell ATC you are canceling the urgency. Nobody is upset about that. The system is designed to handle exactly that scenario. What it cannot handle is the pilot who never called at all. Now let us get into the actual words, because knowing which term to use is step one and constructing the transmission is step two. Both calls follow the same structure. You begin by saying the signal word three times. Three times. This is deliberate. It cuts through normal radio traffic, establishes beyond any doubt that what follows is not a routine call, and gives any distracted controller or nearby pilot the chance to recognize that something important is on the frequency. After the three-peat, you state the facility you're calling if you know it. If you do not know which facility, if you are out of range or unsure who is receiving, you can simply say any station, then your aircraft identification. The nature of your situation, your intentions, your position, your altitude, souls on board, fuel remaining, and anything else immediately relevant to getting you help. A pan-pan call might sound something like this. Pan, 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 Kansas City Center, Cessna 264 Papa Foxtrot, pan, pan, I have a rough running engine, possible oil pressure issue, requesting immediate vectors to the nearest suitable airport. I am approximately 40 miles southwest of the Kansas City VOR at 7,500 feet. Two souls on board, 2 hours fuel remaining, requesting priority handling. That is about 20 seconds of transmission. And the moment ATC acknowledges that call, you have changed the dynamic of your situation entirely. Controllers reorganize traffic around you. The receiving airport gets notified. If the situation calls for it, emergency services can be put on standby before you ever reach the approach fix. Compare that to 12 minutes of watching the oil pressure and saying nothing. Here is what actually happens on the other end of that transmission. The controller receiving your call does several things in rapid sequence. They note your transponder or assign you a code. They alert the supervisor. They coordinate with adjacent facilities and the destination airport. They begin clearing traffic out of your path. They may contact emergency services as a precaution. They maintain communication with you, and they are not going anywhere until you are on the ground safely. The whole system orients itself around you. None of that happens if you stay quiet. Speaking of the transponder, when you declare an emergency, you should squawk 7700, unless ATC has assigned you a specific code and asked you to keep it. 7700 is the universal emergency code. Every radar display in every facility with your target on it will flag your return. In a scenario where your radio is also having problems, a 7700 squawk alone can alert facilities to your position and your status. And while we are talking about backup communications, 1 to 1.5 megahertz is the number you need embedded in your memory. That is the International Emergency Frequency, often called GARD. It is monitored by military facilities, by civilian approach controls, by most airline crews flying in the continental United States, and by search and rescue organizations. If you have lost contact with your assigned frequency, if your primary radio has failed, if you're not sure who else is out there, transmit on GARD. Say what you need to say. Someone will hear you. Here is something I wish someone told me when I was training. There is no meaningful penalty for declaring an emergency. I know this fear exists. I have heard it in briefings, in student debriefs, in hangar conversations. The fear that a Mayday call will trigger certificate action, that you will be on the phone with the Federal Aviation Administration explaining yourself for weeks. It is a myth. FAR 91.3 gives the pilot in command explicit emergency authority to deviate from any rule to the extent necessary to meet an emergency. If you deviate, the FAA may request a written report. That is the full regulatory exposure. They may ask for a report. Not must, may. What the rule does not protect you from is the outcome of a delayed decision. There is also the crying wolf concern. What if you declare and it turns out to be nothing serious? What if you divert and the mechanic looks at the engine and cannot find anything wrong? Pilots worry about this, and I have spoken to enough controllers over the years to give you their perspective, which is consistent. They would rather respond to 1,000 precautionary calls that resolved uneventfully than miss the one that did not. That is not charity. That is how the system is designed to function. You are not abusing it when you use it. You are doing exactly what it is there for. Now, let me tell you about something I do with students before every solo cross-country. Before starting the engine, I ask them to brief themselves on two scenarios out loud, not in their head, out loud. Scenario 1, your engine quits on this flight. What are you going to say on the radio, word for word? Where do you look for landing options first? What does ATC need to know in the first 30 seconds? Scenario 2, something goes wrong but you're not sure if it is a pan-pan or a mayday. Walk through your decision framework. At what point does it become a mayday for you? Thinking through those scenarios on the ground, while everything is fine and there is no pressure anywhere in the system, means you have already made the hard decisions before you need them. Under stress, your brain does not compose sentences from scratch. It retrieves things you have rehearsed. If you have rehearsed nothing, there is nothing to retrieve. If you have said the words out loud a dozen times in a pre-flight brief, the words will be there when the pressure is on. One thing worth mentioning for non-radar environments. If you're out over remote terrain in areas without radar coverage or operating at an uncontrolled airport far from approach control, the same rules apply. You still transmit. You use whatever frequency you have available. You call on guard if nothing else works. You state your situation and your position and your intentions. Someone may be listening. A passing airliner at altitude, a military facility, another pilot on guard monitoring, as many do. And even if nobody answers immediately, the act of transmitting gets information into the world that could matter to someone searching for you later. For the oral exam. The Airman Certification Standards address emergency operations under the task area covering emergency procedures. Your examiner is going to ask about emergency communication. They want to know the difference between distress and urgency. They want the phraseology. But the good examiners push past the recitation. They want to know you would actually pick up the radio in the cockpit. Be ready for the follow-up. Walk me through exactly what you would say. One last thing. If you're airborne and you hear another pilot's emergency call, your responsibility is to clear the frequency unless you are in a direct position to help. If you are 200 miles away with no useful information, stay quiet. ATC is handling it. Give the frequency the silence it needs. If you are nearby, if you have visual contact or position information that could help, key up. If ATC asks for you, respond. Otherwise, silence is the correct choice. The instinct to help can tie up a frequency at exactly the wrong moment. The Aeronautical Information Manual, Section 6-3, covers all of this in depth. International Civil Aviation Organization, Annex 10, covers the same ground from the global standards perspective. Both are worth your time. More at radiohangar.com. Stay ahead of the situation out there.